This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories not of the day because I was off for so long. There's a bunch of stuff that happened. Michael, what do we think about Kyle Whittingham taking over as the next head coach for Michigan?
I don't like it.
Why?
Because he's a good coach, and I hate Michigan.
Yeah, I saw a video where like the AD's going up to like shake his hand, but or no, Whittingham's trying to shake his hand, but the AD's not. He's like, I'm trying to hand you this football. Take the foot or the helmet, so you can take the picture. And didn't shake his hand. Somebody had commented on that, and I was like, well, they're off to a great start there. Kyle Whittingham, former Utah head coach, he's one of the guys. I'm a big fan of his. I like what he represents. I like his style and all of that. It does seem like a weird match, though. Like, Michigan's kind of bad and bleh, now, even more so. And Kyle Whittingham, I guess that was the hire to try to come in and clean things up, help clean things up.
Distance themselves from the last two coaching administrations?
Yeah, maybe. Because he's completely, you know, much different guy.
Yes, we don't cheat and we don't have psychopaths in charge of our football program.
Yeah, Kyle Whittingham is the kind of guy I would like to go sit down and have a beer with. And you just feel like it'd be a genuine conversation. Harbaugh would be weird, and then the last guy obviously was not good. But yeah, they're trying to erase that image a little bit. I don't know. It's going to take a lot more, probably, than that. USC's Lincoln Riley blames Notre Dame for ending the rivalry series. He said Notre Dame failed to follow through on its pledge to play the Trojans anytime, anywhere, in rapidly rejecting his school's proposal to continue the historic series in 26 and 27. Riley was speaking Monday to reporters in San Antonio ahead of the team's appearance in the Alamo Bowl. He placed the blame, according to ESPN, for the halt to the rivalry at Notre Dame's feet. He said the schools spent months working to find a way to continue the series, which began back in 1926 and has been played 96 times since then, other than 2020. The teams have played annually since 1946. He said the USC athletic director, Jen Cohen, reached out with a proposal earlier this month that Notre Dame almost immediately rejected. Quote, we took Notre Dame at their word that they would play us anytime and anywhere. That proposal was rejected. Not only was it rejected 5 minutes after we got the call, it was announced that they had scheduled another opponent, BYU, which I'll give them credit. That might be the fastest scheduling act in college football history. Notre Dame is not doing themselves any favors lately, right? I mean, obviously the way they reacted to not getting into the college football playoffs, kind of who they have been over the years, you know, being an independent and doing their own thing, they want to call the shots, but then they don't want to follow the same rules that everybody else follows. I am over Notre Dame, 100%.
They're going to have a 120 win streak because they're going to be playing nobodies. They're going to be playing a bunch of nobodies because no real school wants to play those babies.
That's the thing. People are starting to. I mean, you should have kept it with USC. I'm curious. I'm surprised BYU got it done so fast. Like, that's fast.
BYU is probably the last school that's like, yeah, sure, we'll take you guys on because they're a bunch of nice people, except for the football team itself.
All right, this is a weird one now because this story from ESPN, Jeff Brazello. Did you see the Baylor basketball story? On Christmas Eve, Baylor announced the signing of James Naji, who was the 31st overall pick in the 2023 NBA draft, but never played an NBA game after being selected by the Pistons and then having his rights traded to Charlotte and later to the Knicks. Naji had been in the FC Barcelona organization since 2020, spending time on loan at two different clubs while also making 51 EuroLeague appearances for Barcelona. So they signed him. I thought once you declared for the draft, you couldn't go back.
I wonder what kind of loophole they found.
I don't know. Baylor coach Scott Drew addressed criticism of the recent signing, former NBA draft pick, saying Sunday that he's merely adapting to the current climate of college basketball in order to put the Bears in position to be successful. I'm not sure. The multiple international players who went through the NBA draft process but were ultimately not selected are playing college basketball this season at Kansas State women's basketball. And there's another, I can't remember the other. Was it UConn? I don't know, man. This is weird. So now, like the whole thing about declaring for the draft, you can go test your skills and you can say, I'm going to go and get evaluated, but that's not like an official declaring I'm going to be drafted or I'm going to go to the draft. But I always thought once you said, I've got maybe 1 year left of eligibility, but I'm going to declare for the draft. Once you do that, that's it. Now you're in. But the way this is going now, all bets are off because, you know, you can get sued. The NCAA really has to do it. They kind of have to do whatever the players want to do. And if a guy is saying, hey, I never actually played, I got drafted, but I want to come back and play, who are they to fight it? Big Hub says, so didn't Utah coach say he was retiring or was it mid-typed? He didn't say, Whittingham, I don't recall reading anything where it said he was retiring. He did say he was a free agent. I did hear a comment of one of his pressers. Maybe it was the last press conference he did, but there was a quote out there that said, I am not, he's like, I don't know what's next. I am a free agent, essentially. Go Pokes on that last story. LeBron to Ohio State is going to really happen, isn't it? What's to stop a guy that didn't, because LeBron James technically has all his years of eligibility. Go back and get an education and then just play basketball on the side. I don't know. Honestly, that text a year ago or 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago would have been ridiculous. That text today is like, I don't know, man. It'd be a story. It'd be a movie. And LeBron loves himself some LeBron. So maybe. Aaron says, I think the Power Four is quietly pushing Notre Dame out of the conversation. And if you want to be an independent, you can do it at a lower level. I think the independent thing is just absolutely outrageous. And the fact that you could be an independent school and not be in a conference, but you're still making bank with TV contracts and all that stuff, it to me points to everything that is wrong with college sports. That's why people want to talk about Johnny Manziel signing an autograph or Jeremy Bloom and his deal with CU when he was an Olympic skier and also a player, and he was fighting the NCAA because they said you can't receive money for your skiing endorsement deals because you're a collegiate athlete. People want to point to that, and I have. I'm telling you, man, the clunkiness of the NCAA pointed at Notre Dame. Pointed at Notre Dame. And the fact that that's just allowed. Like, no other sport that we follow just has a team that can pick their own schedule and they're not in a conference, yet they can get ranked and they can be in the playoffs. I mean, Nick Saban had made a remark about Notre Dame not going to the college football playoffs this year is like a AAA team going, basically saying that James Madison and Tulane is like a AAA team going to the World Series. And I said, well, I guess, you know, Notre Dame would be the equivalent of that as well, because a AAA team is not in the MLB in any of their divisions, but they would get to go to the playoffs. We just like to pick and choose sometimes. And that's what I feel like Saban was doing with that remark, was he's bitching about James Madison Tulane getting in and how awful the NCAA is and college football playoffs are. But it's also awful that Notre Dame is not in a conference. Like, that to me is part of what's wrong with college football, especially. Is that you can just have a team do whatever the hell they want. And I do think schools are starting to get frustrated. I think programs are starting to get frustrated with that, don't you? Aren't you getting that vibe now?
Yeah, especially the last month or so. Once they started complaining that, oh, we're not in the playoffs, meh, and then they decide, we're not going to do it. Well, now it seems like every school's frustration with Notre Dame and the Notre Dame elitism has come out. And now every school's like, okay, you want to do this? You want to take that road? Then we're not going to go with you.
Yeah. Faith says, did you see the Pop-Tart Bowl troll Notre Dame opting out of the bowl game? I didn't. I haven't watched. Have you watched any bowl games? Have you been into any of these? I have been.
I have not watched any bowl games.
Normally I'm out kind of anyway, but I'll randomly throw one on sometimes. But this time around, I'll watch college basketball. There's always a college basketball game on. Faith says also Pop-Tart Bowl, hands down, the best in marketing. Even the refs' flags had sprinkles on them. It's all in the details. Yeah. No, it's probably true. The one you are going to pay attention to is the loudest, and that would be the Pop-Tart Bowl. Eastside Chris says Notre Dame is holier than thou. Well, kind of think so, for many reasons. Big Hub, I think it's a huge problem to have a guy that was drafted come back and play college basketball after 2 years. That should be a no-brainer. Yeah, but if the player's gonna think about suing the NCAA, and then the courts are going to look at that and go, wait, why is that a rule? Like he had a year of eligibility left. He didn't actually play in the NBA. What dissolves your eligibility? Who are you to refuse a young man's college education if he wants to come back and play/go to college? Who are you to tell him that he can't when he technically had a year of eligibility, whether he played in the NBA or not, whether he actually played in the NBA or not? If they technically have a year of eligibility, well, you let Quinn Danker do it. He played junior college, and they found out that they passed a law that said, hey, if you played junior college, it's not going to now count as a year of eligibility for you. That's why Quinn Danker is a senior, but he was a senior last year, and he's getting another year because they didn't count JUCO. So if I'm that player, I'm saying, well, what makes that okay? He played JUCO college. You're saying it doesn't count. Well, my guy still has a year of eligibility left, and he didn't even play in the NBA. So if you're saying JUCO doesn't count, then him getting drafted shouldn't count either. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I would do. If I was wanting it that bad and I wanted to come back and I got a lawyer, that's the first argument I'd make.
Yeah, if you were drafted by an NFL team, never got a chance to play, even if you made the team, but then you were cut and didn't even make the practice squad, you should be allowed to go back.
Well, that's debatable. I'm even talking about further. Like, even if you played in the NBA, if you still have a year left of eligibility, like Go Pokes was talking about LeBron James, if they were to take that to court, I have a feeling the NCAA would probably lose. I mean, that's what I would do. Why is it fair for Quinn Danker to play JUCO and get... Listen, I'm happy that Quinn's getting this, by the way. But why is it fair that he played junior college? He got to prep a bit before getting into the NCAA, or to getting up to that next level. But we're not going to count it because we passed a rule because somebody sued him. Somebody sued him for that. And so they're like, okay, fine. JUCO doesn't count. It doesn't count as a year of eligibility. So if you played 1 year or two, then you technically have two more years at this level. Then you have the Eric Gibson Jr. story, which I'm surprised as hell that that didn't go through. But he won't be back for UNC football. We talked about that. But yeah, if I'm making the case for this dude, he has a year left of eligibility. So he should be able to come back if you're allowing JUCO kids to have another year of eligibility. He just went up a level, and now they're trying to say, well, yeah, we're talking. Well, then now it's done. I mean, that's why they're allowing this, because they're not interested in another lawsuit. Big Hub says, I didn't use a medical red shirt, so I could go back to college. You would have a case. You would have a case. Faith, so didn't Eric Gibson Jr. play at JUCO? So wouldn't he still have that eligibility? The year in, so he can go back down a level now. Eric Gibson can. But the year in question is the year that he went to LSU, and that was technically, that's the year that put him over the limit. So that's why this last year was going to be his final year. But he, that whole situation was LSU invited him there, told him he had a spot on the team, and then he gets there and enrolls. And they said, nah, never mind, we don't. But for some reason, the NCAA is saying, we're counting that. So But without that in front of me, Faith, I don't know how many years he actually played. But if you played 2 years of JUCO and then you go play 2 years of the next level, then to my understanding, you would still have 2 years of eligibility. So it's if you played any amount of years there. So I don't know where. Maybe last year was that JUCO year, Faith. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know for sure. But that could be it. Maybe last year was the JUCO year, and they thought they had another year because of the LSU thing. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, will join me. We'll talk about the Colorado Buffaloes' new athletic director. So it wasn't that long ago Rick George announced that he was going to be stepping down, but he wouldn't be out until later in the summer. But they aren't messing around. They went and got... Sounds like the guy's got a great resume. Former New Mexico AD. He went there and turned things around quickly. He hired Jason Eck, the football coach there. So he has made some big moves quickly, and that's what they're expecting from their new athletic director down in Boulder. 22 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. I want to thank one of our excellent sponsors, and that's Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Visit them online at team-rig.com. And you're looking for new plans, maybe you started something new, whatever that might be, let Renaissance Insurance be your insurance provider. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825. Mike, do you have a good Christmas, buddy? Did you get something nice? Santa was good to you?
The Broncos were good to me.
Okay. That's it. That's what you base your entire existence on.
No, I had fun with my nieces and nephews.
Thank you.
The Broncos.
That's what I was looking for. You know, nieces and nephews maybe should be a little bit at the top of mind over the Broncos winning.
Oh,
Thursday.
I thought you were going to transition into the Broncos winning.
No. I had already talked about that, Mike.
That's it?
What more do you want to say?
I think the entire show should be about the Broncos.
Well, you can get that in Denver. We can talk about the 14th left tackle for this team. No, we will actually spend some time on this team. But, Mike, I'm telling you, bro, broaden your horizons. Yesterday's basketball game between CU and UNC was an instant classic. Christmas night, after the snooze fest that was the Broncos-Chiefs, the Nuggets and the Timberwolves delivered absolute fireworks on Christmas night. Joker was incredible. Here's what you didn't watch this weekend, though, and I'm asking you why. Why didn't you watch college football playoffs this weekend?
Was it on?
No!
Isn't it like a third... Wait.
It's later this
Thursday
week.
Thursday and Friday? Or
yeah,
Wednesday?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
I don't understand.
We had a first round. I forgot that that's even a thing now. I'm like, oh, there's got to be game. We're over at my in-laws' house, and my mother-in-law's like, hey, is there games on that you want to watch? I was like, yeah, there's probably a college football game, a playoff game, and all is there is bowls. Did they do that last year? Because I know they took a break in between the semifinals and the finals and the championship game. I didn't know they took a break after the first round.
I think they're trying to make it.
What are we doing? You make it a New Year's thing?
Yeah, they're trying to make New Year's
so
happen.
So stupid.
But I just don't like it. It's awkward. The pause is awkward. It would be one thing if New Year's was on a Saturday. You could go Saturday
Who
to
cares?
Saturday.
Stop
but
scheduling
it's just
your,
so awkward.
Stop scheduling your crap around holidays, man. Play on the next weekend. Keep the momentum. You're a nerd guy. Aren't you watching Stranger Things?
I am watching Stranger Things, and yeah.
The reviews I've heard from people that are pissed off, it's just like too much time has passed. I'm not as excited as I was when they were churning out season after season. And now the kids are like 47.
Yeah, there's one of the characters that she was 2 or 3 years old in the first season. And now, like, she just, I don't know what actress is playing her, but she does not look like she should be 7. I think the character is supposed to be 7.
She's like 13.
She does not look like she's 7.
Yeah, it's dumb. Faith says, the gap is way too long. I thought I was crazy for thinking that. But no way it was this long last year. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I fully just forgot because these 2 weeks, man, mentally my brain kind of goes into a different space after we got off on Tuesday. And I'm just assuming, I'm not paying attention to schedules. I'm not reading as much as I normally do throughout the week because it's Christmas week. You got family, you got stuff, you're running all over the place. So I just expect that Saturday is going to be full of college football playoff games. And instead, it's like, no, they won't start those back up until around New Year's. Okay, that's dumb. But that's why shows are ruined. This did it last year for the CFP. I was so pumped about it all year. And then by the time we got to the championship game, I was like, oh yeah, there's still a championship game right now.
I even forgot it was on.
Yeah, I think I kind of did. I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, we got to see the top two teams in college football play for the CFP championship. All right, 32 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson going to join me. I'll get his thoughts on that game because there's a lot of Buffs fans that are freaking out, but that UNC team's damn good. Also on the hiring of their new athletic director, we'll talk about Fernando Lovo, former New Mexico AD, and he's had an interesting journey. So we'll talk to Mark about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA. There was something in the air that night. The stars.
I had no idea where you were going with this, but now I know because the University of Colorado names Fernando Lovo, the new director of athletics. Thanks, Mike. Well done. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, this.
Okay, that was really good, by the way. Congratulations. Well done, all of you.
Yeah. Hey, for once, Mark, when it comes to great ideas, I had nothing to do with it. I had little to do. He shocked me. He brought it up. So well done by Michael. He's getting better.
Good job, Michael.
You know, it's
that was good.
Mark. Initial reactions to this? Because we know for Rick George, he's still going to be the AD still for a bit here.
Yeah.
But you're
just a few more days.
Just a couple days, right? Yeah, that's right. We are at the end of the year. Thoughts here? I mean, I was looking at his resume, man. Everywhere he goes, he just keeps getting better and better as he goes.
Well, yeah, I'm excited. excited about it. You know, I don't know a great deal about him. I made a couple of phone calls here the last couple of days after, you know, hearing about what was potentially coming. And listen, he's a very accomplished guy. You know, he's only 37 years old, so he's packed a lot of experience into, you know, a few years. Although, you know, I was thinking about it. I think I was 36 or 37 when I got here as well, and I thought I was very veteran at that point in time. And now, of course, 22 years later, I look back and go, yeah, what a kid that I was at that point in time. But, where he's been. Look at where he's been. He's been at Florida. He's been at Texas. Been Ohio State. Been with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so he has been at some very high-level places and had great success every place he's gone. And then, boy, you can't argue with what he did the last nearly 13 months in New Mexico.
Right.
I mean, the fundraising, the success they had. Jason Eck was a fantastic hire as the football coach, obviously. Everyone in the Mountain West knows that. The basketball coach that he hired is everyone I know raves about him. And so, it's exciting. I think you look at it and you say, this guy has had a great deal of professional success every place he's gone. What he did when he finally rose to the helm at New Mexico was outstanding. And so, man, bring it on. Let's see what he can do at the University of Colorado.
Well, it seems like he has the right mix. I mean, you mentioned the money-raising side of things, but also just the hiring and finding you with Eck. I mean, just making sure he's got the business side of it down and learned a lot of that. And now also, and you surround yourself with good people, too, that help you kind of make those hires. But it sounds like he's that kind of that perfect mix that we're seeing in some colleges where they go straight for, like CSU up here, they went for more of a business guy that didn't really have an athletics background. This seems like the perfect 1-2 punch.
Well, you like to think so. You know, that Jason Eck hire, that's going to plucking somebody off the Gary Barnett tree. You know, he's got a history with Gary, kind of gave him his starting coaching. And so, you know, he's made some great decisions, you know. And right now, yes, you have to be able to attend to both sides. I don't think you want to be, you know, lean too far on the business side, too far on the athletic side. This thing is getting so diverse and interesting right now. I think you need to have the understanding on how things work, how everything goes hand in hand, right? And so, obviously, one of the things that Fernando Lobo is going to have to attend to here in the not-too-distant future from a leadership standpoint with the changing tides of college athletics is, you know, what's going to happen? Is there going to be a super conference? What does this mean? What does the transition look like? How are the, you know, the shuffling of conferences going to look and all that? That, you know, and the media rights to go along with that. And so that's going to be one of the great challenges that he is going to have to face and every other athletic director at university in the country. And so, you know, you hope that his history and what he's done is going to, you know, lend its way to helping him, you know, kind of guide those troubled waters, if you will, down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, you know, everything you see about the guy at this point, you go, yeah, why not? I want that here at Colorado. I want a guy that makes great hires. I want a guy that's a great fundraiser. I want a guy that's dynamic in terms of his personality and how he interacts with fans and student athletes. And so he seems to check all the boxes.
Were you surprised at, I mean, because to me it seems like this moved almost, it's going to be seamless. It's going to be perfect. You know, I wondered there for a while if they're going to just be on that search a little bit longer, but man, they got after it and they made the hire before, a few days before. But still, we've seen programs in the past where they move on or an athletic director moves on, and it's a long process to find out who's going to take over.
Well, you know, when the announcement by Rick was made, and the indication coming out from Chancellor Justin Schwartz was that he wanted to have this put to bed by January 1. And at the time I thought, boy, that's a pretty aggressive game plan right there, you know, to your point. Because a lot of times there's a search that goes on and you identify a handful of people and you have various conversations and you think you might be, you know, focusing on person A, and then person A all of a sudden decides, yeah, I don't want to be there. Maybe it's not a good marriage in that regard. And so, you know, I wondered about how quickly they could turn this thing around. Now, Justin Schwartz, I'll tell you this. You know, he went out, obviously, he used a search firm, as everyone does in this day and age, to help identify candidates. And by everything that I understand, Chancellor Schwartz was, you know, he was, I'm not going to say a one-man team, but he was the guy that was leading the charge here. And if you notice, there were no leaks in this thing. Which is always interesting to me, right? Because in this day and age, when there are searches for football, basketball coaches, athletic directors, we all seem to kind of start hearing names. And I'll be honest with you, I was hearing nothing. And so the Chancellor did a great job of keeping a very tight ship identifying his guy and then nailing down his guy in very short order, and did so very covertly. And I think that speaks to what he did from a search standpoint. And like I said, everything you see about Fernando Lobo, who's got a great name, by the way, just kind of flows.
It does.
Fernando Lobo.
Yeah.
Kind of flows off the tongue. And I'm gonna give Rick George a hard time about that. Your name is never fun to say, Rick George. That's not fun. Fernando Lobo is fun for me to say.
There's a lot of things you could do with that. I mean,
my goodness. Well, you guys have already proven that today with what Michael did. And so I just think it the search went well from all standpoints, and they got their guy very quickly. He's going to be I know he's going to officially start on the 1st. I don't think they expect him into town until like the 2nd or 3rd or something. So here in just a few days, right after the 1st of the year holiday, I think we'll find him in town, and then a press conference on Monday, and he and I are supposed to do some kind of interview, I guess, at some point here in the very near future, and so I'm looking forward to that and seeing what he does. He's going to hit the ground running, no doubt about that.
Well, I'm sure it'll be a great interview, just like Mark yesterday. It was a great broadcast. You did a wonderful job. I actually watched the game twice.
Now,
did you really? I did. Well, I was watching it in spurts because I was with my child. You know my story, and he's it's go time. So I'm with him all day. So I'm watching it in spurts, and then I see the result. This looked like a fantastic game. So I went back and watched it last night. So I got to hear you twice on the broadcast.
Well,
I could almost recite that entire broadcast.
I appreciate your kind words, and it was a good game to call. There's no doubt about that. You've heard me say this a million times. I've always tell people I'm in the interesting business. What I want is interesting. That was an interesting game to call. Now, in terms of my position, did it end up going the direction that was beneficial to me? No. But congratulations to Coach Smiley and UNC. I thought they came in and played phenomenal. And the moment, the game, the matchup, the atmosphere didn't bother the Bears at all. They came in. Every once in a while you can look at a game and say, Colorado lost that game. Well, yesterday was a game. The UNC Bears won that basketball game. Give them full credit. They outplayed Colorado. They won. And Dinker was phenomenal in that ball game. I mean, he was just out of his mind, and good for him, and congratulations to the Bears. I think you give them full credit on this entire thing, and Colorado's licking its wounds and got better figure out how to play some defense at some point in time.
And, Mark, when you and I talked last week, I brought up Brock Wisney. Yep. I had no clue Quinn was going to play. He broke his hand like 4 weeks ago.
Right.
And when I first heard it, we actually had Brock in studio, and I'm asking him about it off the air, and he's like, I can't really say anything, but and so I'm like, wait, season ending? He's like, I can't say anything. So that's where my brain was going. I didn't expect him, certainly not back for this game.
Well, remember, that's happened to CU two games in a row now. Stanford had their freshman potential All-American guard come back for that ball game, and he torched Colorado for, 31 or whatever it was. And then Denker comes in and drops his, 31 or 32, whatever it was yesterday, and was phenomenal in that game. I was so impressed with him, although as hard as he played and the intelligence with it he played. And so, like I said, you're not going to find me saying anything but rave reviews for what UNC did there, and I hope they go on and win the Big Sky Championship and on. And for Colorado, like I said, this Buffs team better figure out that you have to play defense, and you have to do so at a high level, and you have to do so consistently. Here about 2-3 weeks ago, one night, as typically happens with the guys I broadcast with, Gary and I go back and forth about stuff all the time, and Scott and I do the same thing. And Wilkie texts me one night here, and Colorado was still undefeated at this point in time. I think it was right before the CSU game. And Scott texts me one night, and he says, do you know what the difference between our team right now and the other teams in the Big 12? And I wrote back, I said, what? And he said, the other teams are so intentional and intense on defense. He said, our young guys have got to figure that out. And he was absolutely correct. And what's happened now? In the last five games, Colorado's gone 2-3. You lose at Colorado State, you lose to Stanford, you lose to Northern Colorado, and you do so all in the same fashion. All three of those games, Brady, Colorado's offensive numbers were good enough to win. You score 81 points in a college basketball game, you should win the college basketball game. And they didn't play defense because UNC shot 74% in the second half, shot over 50% from downtown. Colorado's defense was not intense enough. And this team better figure it out, because on Saturday we're jumping into the deep end of the pool here in Big 12 play at Arizona State, and it's only going to get tougher.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, I had a listener email me this morning the box score from that game. What was it, 19? What year was the last time the Bears? 1936. I actually have the box score. He sent me everything. Shout out to Ned. He sent me like the stories from both, like one paper that was obviously more of a CU paper,
yeah,
then one paper that was more of a UNC paper.
Where do you even find a box score from 1936, for goodness sake?
I don't know, but I've got it right here, and I can't even really... it's weird. It's Colorado 23, Greeley State 25. High-scoring game, Mark. That would have been a fun one for you. And I'm looking at Colorado's box score, and they only had five guys that registered a stat. So apparently they weren't very deep that year. So they have five dudes.
Way. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of teams are that way. Yeah, I think the tweet that won the day yesterday for me came from a UNC fan. And it made me laugh out loud. I think UNC put out, you know, obviously, as all schools do, their tweet about, hey, we won. You know, it's the graphic for them winning the game. And somebody tweets out and says, nobody, and I mean nobody, has a 90-year reign over the University of Northern Colorado. I thought that was very,
that's
very
pretty
funny.
Good. That is very good. Well, it was a great game overall. Two really fun teams that I think are, you know, if the Buffs can figure their stuff out, and we'll see how this goes. But, Mark, excellent work on the broadcast, and Happy New Year, my friend. We'll hope to talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Happy New Year to all your listeners as well. We'll see you.
All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, no one's running. No one has a rivalry over the Bears where they're going to win over 90 years. No way in hell that's happening. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
For Avalanche games and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up, we'll get to the buy or sell segment. And then I want to talk about the Nuggets a little bit, because what they've done now, I know Saturday's loss was rough to Orlando, but overall, the fact that you got another starter down for this team, and they're finding ways to just win games. I mean, Cam Johnson's going to be out for several weeks now. So you're already dealing with Aaron Gordon being gone, Christian Brown being gone, being out, which I think those guys are getting closer. But without three starters, the Nuggets have stayed pretty good. They stayed above water there, and the Thunder have kind of lost a few, and the Spurs seem to have their number. So we'll talk about that. More Broncos, Chargers coming up, and more on The Whole Show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.